Happy New Year's, everybody. I know it's a few more hours to go, but I might not see you later on, so I'm going to greet you now. We filled up. People were just waiting for the right time to come in. I'm glad to see everybody here. As you can see, our topic this morning will be about resolutions, resolving them. Because there is a problem with resolutions, right? What's the biggest problem with resolutions? They never get done. We resolve and resolve and resolve, but somehow, a lot of times, these resolutions never get accomplished. So let's resolve it. Let's fix the problem. What's the problem with resolution, right? I don't know about you. Every time I hear a New Year's resolution message, it always begins with a top 10. Top 10 resolutions that people make this year, okay? Every time I hear a resolution message, it begins with a top 10. And then it goes on to say, well, you know what? None of these things get done. Wow, thanks. Thanks for all that help. I always hear that. And so I'm like thinking, what should I say? What should I share with you guys this morning? First of all, let me ask why. Why do we almost always seem to fail when it comes to accomplishing resolutions? First question I want to ask. Second question is, what is a resolution? In its most simple definition, resolutions are a person's firm intentions or determination to do something. Right? When you resolve to do something, you are determined to do it. So if that's what a resolution is, or that's what a resolution is supposed to be, then when you make a resolution, then there has to be some kind of determination behind it. You don't just say it as if you wish that it would happen. Resolutions are not wishes. Like when you say, this year I'm going to lose weight. You don't say that saying, you know, like you're wishing it. Like, I wish I would lose weight, because you're not going to do anything about it, for sure. But when you say you resolve to lose weight, there has to be some kind of determination, right? You have to be determined for you to be able to say that, or for you to even think that, right? It has to be. But again, how come, if there is determination behind it, how come people still fail? How come a year later, you ask that same person, what's your resolution? Lose weight. I didn't lose weight last year, so I guess this year is it, right? How come? Why do we always keep on failing? Like, right now, New Year's resolutions feel like it's like a running joke. Like when somebody says something, oh, this is going to be my resolution, and people react like, yeah, right, sure. This year, right, you're going to lose weight this year. Because it never happens. We always seem to fail. So what I'm going to do, instead of beginning with top 10, you know, New Year's resolutions, I'm going to begin with the top 5 reasons why resolutions fail. Okay? Instead of beginning with top 10, what should my New Year's resolution be? Let's start with top 5 why resolutions fail. Let's go. This is from an article from Psychology Today. Okay, so this is not, and this is back in 2015, okay, December 2015. If you were to search in the internet, there's more articles on why resolutions fail, right? You know why? Because resolutions always fail every year, and people are coming up with more and more reasons why. But this one, we'll go with this one, okay? Why do most New Year's resolutions fail? Number one, most New Year's resolutions fail because of unrealistic expectations. Everybody's like, yeah, that's right. Unrealistic expectations. Like, I'm going to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Sure. First 2 days, I quit. This is too hard. I'm starving myself. Right. Unrealistic expectations. Let me read you a quote from the article. It is important, says, to also realize that fulfilling some resolutions takes a long time, and you will not be able to see the results right away. So be prepared for this investment of time and stay motivated until you have reached your goals. And so you have to keep at it. But don't set like so high a bar that you can't reach it. That's what they're saying. That's why resolutions fail. Number one is because you set too high of a bar, unrealistic expectations. Number two, why do most New Year's resolutions fail? It's because they were not properly defined. Right? Like some people say, I want to lose weight this year. Great. How much weight? Right? Or some people say, I want to travel more. Where? When? Right? Or I'm going to be more responsible. For what? Be more defined. That's why resolutions fail, because you just generalize everything. Right? I'm going to do this. And you end up forgetting about it because it was so general. You don't set time limits for yourself. You don't set the actual goal. There's no specifics. So the article came up with this suggestion of an acronym, SMART. When you do New Year's resolution, be specific about it. Right? What are you trying to do? Like some for husbands, I'm going to love my wife more. What does that mean? Does that mean you wash dishes every night, do the laundry? What does that mean? Right? Be specific about it. Have it to be measurable. It's got to be measurable. Achievable. Again, going back to the first, I think I heard this from Ate Jelly in our prayer meeting, setting goals. Realistic. And there has to be some time limit to it. Okay? Don't just say, I'll lose weight this year. And then next year comes, well, I didn't put a time limit. I'm good. Right? So they're saying that a lot of New Year's resolutions fail because you're not smart. You don't do these things. You don't set specific goals. Third, why does most New Year's resolutions fail? Because you didn't have the right mindset. What does that mean? The article suggests that if you are not mentally prepared for all the hard work, distractions, and obstacles and setbacks that might be ahead of you, you will most likely fail. So you have to set your mind to it. I don't know, you lose weight, set your mind. I tried doing that, didn't work. I set my mind last year to go to the gym next year. I still haven't gone. But it says here, you should set your mind to it. Right? Set your mind and you can do anything, right? That's what they say. You can do anything once you set your mind to it. So if you don't want your New Year's resolution to fail, whatever you're resolving to do for next year, set your mind to it right now. If it's losing weight, set your mind. You know, I'm going to be hungry for the rest of the year. That's what it is when you're trying to lose weight, right? You have to set your mind to it. That's why it keeps failing. Fourth, why most New Year's resolutions fail is because of lack of time management skills. A lot of us, who here lacks that? I lack it. I don't manage my time wisely. It says here, managing your time efficiently is not about crossing all the entries off your to-do list. It is about knowing what your priorities are and getting the right things done first. There's something wrong with that, and I don't want to get to it right now, but sometimes our priorities are messed up. Like, what if your priority is to sit and watch TV? And you're not going to exercise, right? But, again, Psychology Today, experts say this is why, or this is one of the reasons why, your New Year's resolution is failing, because you don't manage your time wisely, okay? Last but not least, why most New Year's resolutions fail is because of all the distractions inside and around us. Too many distractions. That's why they keep failing, right? Article suggests that eliminating unnecessary distractions from our everyday routines will enable us to make time for things that really matter. Again, I see a hole in that kind of thinking, right? What if what really matters to you is sleeping? This right, number one thing for me is to go to sleep. I need my sleep. How are you going to exercise? You're going to prioritize sleep over everything, right? So then you're still failing. But then again, experts say, this is from the experts, Psychology Today says, if you get rid of unnecessary distractions, you will be able to make time for things that really matter, like fulfilling the resolutions you made. True or not true? In a way, it's true, right? But again, it doesn't depend. It really doesn't depend on what you do. It's what you want to do, right? Or what you need to do. It doesn't depend on what you need to do. It's what you want to do that kind of comes out at the end, right? So, and I don't know about you, but while I'm reading this, I was thinking to myself, please tell me something I don't already know. Like, come on, man. I know I have to manage my time wisely. I know I have to be smart when it comes to my resolutions. I know I should, set unrealistic goals because I'm not going to reach it. It's all obvious, right? Tell me something I don't already know. I tried all of these things that Argyle suggests, but unfortunately, I still failed. Most of my, if not all of my resolutions I made last year and the year before that. Right? Keep failing. Back to the drawing board. And back to our question. Why do most New Year's resolutions fail? Why? So my goal this morning is to hopefully answer that question and also walk us through God's prescription on how we ought to carefully make our list of resolutions this coming year. In fact, if you are going to come tonight, to tonight's service, not really a service, it's like a prayer meeting. Tonight's prayer meeting, if you come tonight for our New Year's Eve watch, that's what we're going to do. We're going to write down our resolutions, right? Based on the sermon this morning. Okay? So who is resolving to come tonight? Five people. Great. That's all right. It's good. Maybe I should have said that. All right. That's our goal. Answer that question. Why do resolutions fail? And then hopefully show you God's prescription on how to carefully make our list of resolutions. And to do that, we're going to look at the life of Jonathan Edwards. You guys know who Jonathan Edwards is? Okay. He's a reformer. He's an American preacher, theologian. Jonathan Edwards once wrote a list of all his resolutions. Okay? And not just a New Year's resolution, but a life list of resolutions for life. Okay? He started writing down his list when he was 19 years old, back in 1722. Okay? Resolution 1, resolution 2, resolution 3. He ended up with how many resolutions? 70 resolutions. 70. Usually, we do top 10, and it changes every year because we can't accomplish the resolutions we made last year, right? Jonathan Edwards wrote a list of 70 resolutions. But again, unlike how we treat resolutions nowadays, we treat it as wishful thinking. Edwards used his list of resolutions to remind him of who he really was and how he ought to live. That's why he wrote resolutions. And that's why we should write, or we ought to write our resolutions. That's the reasons why we should write our resolutions, right? To remind us who we are, or who we really are, and how we ought to live. But before we get to the resolutions, I want us to focus on how Edwards began his list of resolutions. Okay, he didn't just start writing resolution 1, resolution 2, resolution 3. No. Before writing even one single resolution down, Edwards prefaced his list by saying this: being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. Read that again. This is before he even wrote one single resolution. He said this: being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for the sake of Christ, or for Christ's sake. One article says that this preface undergirds, it's the foundation of the 70 resolutions to follow, which is crucial to keep in mind. Cutting the resolutions off from the foundation of the preface leads to seeing them as the stuff of personal grit and determination to better oneself. That's not only a mistaken reading, it's a tragic one. Self-made person is a modern ideal, not a biblical one. reason why New Year's resolutions always fail for us is because we try to do it on our own. We try to do it on our own for the wrong purpose. What's the purpose, it says here? A lot of times is to better yourself. You're not happy with something about you, you resolve to change it. Right? If you do that, you're putting the pressure squarely on your own shoulders. You're trying to resolve, fix something about you, yourself. And if you think about it, it doesn't make sense. Why? Okay, the reason why you do New Year's resolutions is because you don't think you're good enough. You think there's something has to change in you to be better. So you're not good enough. So I'm not thin enough. I need to lose weight. Right? I'm not fit enough. I need to exercise. But if you think about it, if you're not good enough, then how do you expect to resolve or to do the resolutions that you're trying to do? It's like this. I'm hungry. I resolve to eat, but I can't cook. How are you going to do it? Every time you eat, you can't eat it because you can't cook. Right? That's why it keeps failing. I'm this. I need to lose weight, but I don't have the self-control to do it. Then how are you going to do it? Why are you even resolving to do it if you can't? You know you can't. You've been trying for the last 10 years. But every year, same thing. I resolve. Right? We need help. Right? That's what Jonathan Edwards is saying in his preface. I need help. I can't do this. I'm no good. Okay, I'm not enough. I need somebody to help me do this. Right? That's why he opened up with that statement before even making one resolution. And he begins with this. He begins with being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help. What's he mean? He's saying he's not stupid. Right? He's not trying to fool himself. He's being sensible, right? He's not just imagining things. He's not imagining that he can do it. He's not looking forward to the end without having to, you know, think about the process. Because there is a process. A lot of times we look forward to the end. Oh, I want to lose weight so that I can look like that. And you keep looking at that. Yeah. There is a process to get there. You're not just going to one day wake up and with washboard abs, lost 30 pounds. No. There's work involved, right? Jonathan Edwards is saying, I'm not stupid. I know there is work involved. I know how hard it is. So I'm sensible that I'm not unable to do anything without God's help. He asks first for God to help him. He's acknowledging before God that he is nothing. I can't do this, Lord. You're going to have to help me before I write any of these things down. You're going to have to help me. And what's God's response to people like that? Check out Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me and what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one whom I will look. Who does the Lord look to even though he owns everything? He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. The humble. The one who acknowledges, Lord, I cannot. This is not, I can't do this. Help me. Lose weight? Yes. Help me lose weight. That's who the Lord looks to. Proverbs 3:34. Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. And last but not least, James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. A lot of times people say, no, I could do this. I could lose weight. People laughing. That's what we say, right? In the mirror. Next year, I'm not going to look like you anymore. this will be gone. This will be gone. Right? That's being proud. How do you expect God to help? God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud but helps the humble. And Jonathan Edwards knows this. And he humbles himself before God even before writing down one single resolution. Why? Because he needs all the help he can get. Right? He needs all the help he can get. He goes on to say that it is only by God's grace that he will be able to keep any of these resolutions. And not only for a year, but for the rest of his life. Imagine that. I hope it's not losing weight. Right? If you lose the weight for the rest of your life, you'll be dead. but the resolutions that he did make, he made it to last for the rest of his life. In fact, he wrote this as his first resolution. Number one resolution, Jonathan Edwards wrote, he said this, resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to God's glory, my own good, profit, and pleasure. Okay. I want you to notice that. God's glory is the same as his own good, profit, and pleasure. Okay. To glorify God is to do or to, you know, do whatsoever you think is for your own good as well. It's the same thing. Okay? To be the most, resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be the most to God's glory and my own good, profit, and pleasure in the whole of my duration for the rest of his life without any consideration of the time, whether now or never, so many myriads of ages hence. Resolved to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. And last but not least, resolve to do this, whatever difficulties I meet with, how many and how great whatsoever. Now, you see why he first asked God for help, right? He wants to live for the glory of God, okay? His whole life, and for the good of others, his whole life, right? And whatever difficulties he may meet, trials, tribulations, whatever, it doesn't matter, I'm going to do this. Anybody can anybody just say that and do that? That's what Jonathan Edwards said before even writing this. God help me. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. To live for the glory of God, for his own good, and for his own profit until he dies. And then, you know, that's why he humbly opened up his resolution the way he did. Because he knows he's inadequate. He knows he cannot accomplish any of these things. Now, if you read our text this morning, that's exactly what our text is telling us to do. Okay? Not just write your resolutions down and hope that it happens. That's wishful thinking. No. To resolve something is to actually do it. Right? Not just to wish you could do it. To actually do it. Right? So check out our text this morning, 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. Let's start with that first phrase. To this end, we always pray for you. This is Paul praying for the saints in Thessalonica, right? So what did Paul start with? Prayer. Paul starts with prayer. When you make resolutions, you start with prayer. Just like what Edwards did, because through prayer, you ask God, God, do this. I'm not going to be able to do it. You have to do it for me and with me, right? So Paul asked God in prayer. That's the first thing when you were writing our resolutions. Ask God in prayer because God is the one who will work on your behalf, right? Ultimately, it is only through God's power that we will be able to keep any resolutions that we make. But if you look at this, Paul hasn't even mentioned anything about resolutions yet. He just says, let's pray. We're going to be praying for you. What is he praying for? What's the first thing that he prays for? That God may make you worthy of his calling. So in order for your resolutions to not fail, to succeed, pray that God first will make you worthy of His calling. Where have you heard that before? Ephesians 4:1. Okay, those of you who went through our series in Ephesians, you guys remember? Ephesians 4:1, it says, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. Right? Ephesians 4:1. For God to make us worthy of our calling. That's what we need. As Edwards says, you know, in order that resolutions to succeed, Edwards says, they have to be agreeable to the will of God first. That's why he's saying, you know, that's what Thessalonians and Paul is saying, that this is the first thing you do. You pray for God to make you worthy of His calling so that whatever resolutions you make, it'll agree to the will of God. You guys get that? Right? Without that guidance, we'll make all kinds of resolutions, even bad ones. I resolve to take revenge on that person who wronged me this year. I resolve to steal my neighbor's wife. You can resolve to do that. Wrong, right? How do you know that you're in the will of God? How do you know that your resolutions are within the will of God? You ask God to make you walk in a manner worthy of His calling. We must first become people that walk in a manner worthy of God's calling. Now again, this does not mean that we deserve the calling because we walked a certain way. That's not what it means. That's not what being worthy here means. Being worthy here means that our walk or our lives must be suitable, must be fitting to the calling. If you're called to be a baseball player, play baseball. Right? If you're called to be a Christian, walk like one. Right? You're not worthy in any way. The calling is worthy, so you ought to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling. Right? So again, the calling is the one that is worthy, not us. Okay, that's why we need to walk. Walking worthy here means that we must live lives that is suitable or fitting for the calling. In other words, as Christians, we must live our lives that shows and displays the worth of the calling. How much you value being a Christian. Again, main point here is not how we walk. Main point here is not how we live our lives. The main point here is who we are in Christ. Because if you're not that, how do you expect to walk a certain way? Right? You have to be that first. You have to be a Christian first. And then when you're a Christian, walk worthy of your calling. That's what it says. That's what Paul is saying in 2 Thessalonians. Right? For that to happen, you must be what? First what? Born again. If you're not born again, then no. You're not going to be walking anywhere near worthy of whatever calling you have. Okay? You have to be born again first. That's the first thing Paul prays for here in our text. For God to make us worthy by His grace and for us to be born again. That's the first thing he prays for. What's the second thing he prays for? Check it out. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Can you display the whole thing, please? To this end, we pray. Okay, so start with prayer. Pray what? That God will make you worthy of His calling so that all your resolutions will be according to His will. Right? And that God may fulfill every what? Resolve. Every resolution. Every resolve for good. So first, praise for God to make you worthy of His calling so that when you make your resolutions, it will align to God's will. And then he prays that God fulfill your resolve. Okay? Every resolve, every resolution that you have for good. Right? For God to fulfill it, not for you to fulfill it. For God to fulfill it in you. And again, Paul is implying here that God is the one who will fulfill every resolve, who will fulfill every one of our resolutions. And again, what are resolutions? It's your intentions. It's your good intentions. Because you want to change something about yourself, something that you want to be better at, That's why you resolve to do these things, because you want to change. It's good intentions, good goals that you want to accomplish. And God, and Paul is asking God here to fulfill them all. Just like how Jonathan Edwards asked God to fulfill all his resolutions even before he wrote one resolution. Ask God for help first, right? Ask him to help you out, give you grace to do it. So now, how does God fulfill resolutions? Okay, check out the next line. That God may fulfill every resolve for good, and this is the how, every work of faith by his power. So how does God fulfill resolutions, intentions? Right? Because without the work, resolutions are just intentions. You just intend to do something. You just desire to do something. Here, Paul is saying that God will fulfill every resolve. How? By turning them into work, action. Right? So if I resolve to lose weight, with God's help, he will turn that into action. So then, yeah, you will go to the gym. You will not desire to eat too much junk food or whatever, so you can lose weight, right? But that's how God fulfills your resolve, by turning your resolve into work, by turning your resolve into action. And not just any action, not just any work. It says their work of what? Faith. What does that mean? That as you work, as you do it, you believe that it is God's power in you that's doing it. So that when you feel like, I can't do this anymore, I'm going to quit, you know that it's not your power. By your power, it is by God's power. That's how God fulfills resolutions. He turns it first into work, and not just work, work of faith by his power. So from intentions to actions. Right? From intentions to actions. It has to be fueled not by your own willpower or strength, but by the power of God through your faith. Is that clear? You want to be able to resolve all your resolutions? Follow the prescription. Ask God for help so that you will be aligned with his will. And then from then on, work with the power coming from him by your faith. We need to do it. There has to be work. Otherwise, it's just good intentions. Right? This should be the foundation of every resolution we make this coming year and even going forward. It's only the power, or through faith in the power of God, will our good intentions or our resolutions and goals be accomplished. Should our resolutions be agreeable to God's will? Again, you can resolve to do whatever you want, even bad resolutions. But for you to not go that route, ask God, make you walk worthy according to your calling. And then believe that by his power, you'll be able to fulfill those resolutions. Amen? What else does it say? So if before writing our resolutions, we ought to pray first, ask God for help first, and then through his help, hopefully align us with his will so that the resolutions we write are within his will, and then give us the power to accomplish it. For what reason? Why are we doing it? Is it for to better yourself? Is it just that? Is it to look better, to feel better? Is it for that? Is that the reason why we, you know, write down our resolutions? Check out the next part of the verse, in verse 12. This is the reason why we ought to do resolutions, and why we ought to trust God to accomplish these resolutions. So that, what? Come on, read it. It is not for personal betterment. It is not for you to, you know, gain more self-confidence or have higher self-esteem. It is not for you to look better so that when summer comes around, you'll be able to wear that whatever, bikini or whatever it is, or that Speedo. No. It is not for that. It is for the glory of Jesus. But look. Look at it. Read it again. So that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. So Jesus be glorified in us, and us be glorified in Him. Did you guys get that? So not only Jesus is being glorified, you're being glorified too. Is that the same glory?
No.
Jesus being glorified means he deserves it. We don't deserve any glory. So what does it mean for us to be glorified in Christ? Because both of us are getting glorified here. Jesus and us, right? So what does it mean to be us be glorified in Him? Again, it doesn't mean that we get any glory for keeping our resolutions, because it is not our work to begin with. So how do we get glorified? How do we get glorified? I believe that what this means is that as God fulfills every resolve that we make, by turning our resolutions to work, or by turning our resolutions to action by faith, we begin to grow from one degree of glory to the next. That's how you get glorified. You don't deserve any, but you get glorified by going from one degree of glory to the next. Where do we see that? 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed into the same image, same glory, from one degree of glory to another. And as we keep doing that, what? We become more and more like Jesus. And then when the end comes, we get to share in Him, in that glory. Is that good news? When you fulfill resolutions, not only are you doing good to yourself, like losing weight, you're also glorifying God. And at the same time, you grow from one degree of glory to the next. And you keep going like that. Next thing you know, you're up there sharing in Christ's glory. That's what it means. As God accomplishes our resolutions by His power through our work of faith, we become more and more like Christ, meaning we continue to grow spiritually. That's the main purpose of resolutions. Resolutions is not for self-betterment or self-image or self-esteem. It is for the glory of God, right? The glory of God through Jesus and our growth. That's what resolutions are for. That's the purpose for it. It's nothing about you. It's all about God. Now some of you look sad. Oh, what? I thought it was all about me. Yeah, a lot of people, that's how they think, right? I'm going to lose weight so I can look good, so people look at me and give me glory. Oh, look at that. He lost so much weight. You didn't do that to begin with, right? And if you did, then, because listen, man, it's a double-edged sword, right? Resolutions. If you don't accomplish it, right, you're discouraged. You don't want to do it anymore. But if you do accomplish it, you become what? Proud. So I'd rather be discouraged than proud. You know what I'm saying? If you know that, oh, this is me, I did this, I willed myself to lose whatever, 20 pounds. Next thing you know, yeah, you'll be dressing up like tight-fitting shirts all of a sudden. Why? Because you want people to look at you. You want people to glorify you because you did that. I'd rather not. I'd rather be wearing my loose shirts and my and be discouraged than be proud. Because again, we read at the start, right? God opposes proud. But for the fat guy who is discouraged but asks God for help, He gives grace to the humble. One day that fat dude will lose weight and he will give glory to the one who's due glory, God, not himself. I lost my notes. That wasn't part of it. That was free. Okay. So that's the prescription of the Bible. That's God's prescription. This is how you should make resolutions. Don't just write it down blankly and think of what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about it in these terms and rely on God for help to accomplish them. Right? Now, does this mean that all our resolutions should be all spiritual? Can we still have lose weight resolutions or, you know, relationship resolutions? What about those resolutions? Can we still have those? Or does it have to be all spiritual? Again, if we stick with the prescription in 2 Thessalonians, you can have any resolution that you want. Let's go back to Edwards. What about Edwards? Was all his resolutions, all 70, was all of it spiritual resolutions? Let's go back to Jonathan Edwards. His 20th resolution, okay, is to maintain the strictest temperance or the strictest moderation or self-restraint when it comes to eating and drinking. 20th resolution, I'm not going to eat too much. I'm not going to drink too much. I guess he drinks. Because he has to restrain himself, right? So it's not all spiritual, but it all leads to God's glory, right? Does it lead to your own good as well? Yes. If you don't eat too much, you'll be more fit, healthier. If you don't drink too much, you're not going to get drunk, right? So there are practical things that you can still resolve to do, right? When it came to relationships, Edwards resolved to never do anything out of revenge. That's not spiritual, right? That's just him wanting to resolve to do that because doing something out of revenge is not according to God's will, right? But I guess he has these feelings in him that, oh, sometimes I just want to strangle somebody, right? So he's resolving not to do anything out of revenge. That's number 14 resolution. Number 12 resolution. Or to never get angry at irrational people. I wish I should do that. I hate irrational people. If you're not thinking rationally, we can't talk. I might end up strangling you. And God's still working on me with my temper. Edward's saying, no, I'm going to resolve never to get angry at irrational people. Hard to do. But with God's help and for God's glory, yeah, it can be accomplished. Right? Or one of my favorites, number 36 resolution. Resolve never to speak evil of any. Sounds good, right? Except I have some particular good call for it. I like that. Don't talk bad about anybody unless it's going to lead to something good. So yes, call people out. That's what that means. If you're seeing something that is not good for that person or for the church, call them out. You'll be the bad guy for sure. Because you call them out. But Edward's saying, I'll do it unless... I'm not going to resolve to speak evil of any unless it is profitable for them. It's going to be for their own good. That's one of my favorites. A lot of people criticize me for being too, why do you have to say that? Especially my wife. My wife, actually, she's the one who's like that. It's more like that. She straight up tell you, well, you're stupid or you're this or you're that. But she means it for good. Yeah, it might sound like, I'm not telling you guys to say that to anybody. And when you resolve to do this, speak evil of people, do it in a gentle way. That's what we learned from Ephesians, right? Do it in a loving way, a way that will restore, not destroy. But yeah, you have to say it. Right? Resolve to do that. When it comes to time management, okay? Edwards resolved And number five, never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. How can I make the best use of my time? Right? Some of us, again, sleep it off. Some of us, I'd rather watch TV than sleep. I'd rather eat than... But if you think about it, you know, again, if you got God's guidance on you, think about what's the most profitable way of using your time. And don't waste anything. Don't waste any time. I was talking to... When was it? Last night we were talking, me and my dad talking with a bunch of other people about TFC shows, how stupid they are. It's a waste of time. My dad even said that some of these shows just make him angry. So why are you watching it? Huh? It's nice to watch TFC. For those of you who don't know TFC, it's the Filipino channel. Okay? I got nothing against Filipinos. They just make bad shows. So don't waste your time. I wasted 2 hours watching Justice League. It's a dumb movie. Make a resolve to not waste your time. Never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most profitable way I possibly can. Or number 17 on time management, Edward says, resolve that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. Say that again. Resolve that I will live so that I shall wish I had done when I come to die. Don't have any regrets. If you're supposed to do something like reconcile relationships, do it while you're still alive. You're supposed to treat your parents with respect and honor them. Do it now while they're still alive. Do it now while you're still alive. Don't wait till they're dead and you'll be crying, oh, I should have. Too late, right? Resolve to live as you wish you had when you come to die. Don't regret anything, right? So again, it's not all spiritual. All resolutions that you just heard, they're all practical resolutions. But again, following the prescription that we saw in 2 Thessalonians, by God's grace, help comes and it's for God's glory that these resolutions get fulfilled, right? Now, after the service, as you prepare your resolutions, hopefully you come tonight to join us to prepare them. Let's remember to first humble ourselves before God. It is only by His power, through His grace, that we are able to keep any of these resolutions that we may make this year or for the years to come. Remember, it is God who will fulfill all your resolutions and turn them into works of faith. And this God does ultimately for what? For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and our growth as followers of Him. Through God's grace, may we be able to keep all the resolutions we make according to His will. And may our lives be a constant display of His power and glory throughout the next year. Okay. Hopefully that will help you tonight when you're writing down your resolutions. If you do that, I don't know if you guys do it. Who does that here? Nobody. Whoa. His whole sermon was wasted. What the? You're good with where you're at. Everybody, you're happy with where you're at? Nothing to change? If it ain't broke, don't fix it? Is that it? Oh, man. Well, I encourage you to do so. Nobody's perfect, okay? I'm sure there are some things about you. I know there's a lot of things about me that I want to resolve, that I want to change, that I want next year to be different. I know there should be some things about you that... you want for next year to be different, right? So if you want to be reminded of it, just like what Edwards did, Jonathan Edwards did, write it down. Look at it every day. Pray to God to give you the help that you need in order to fulfill it. And hopefully by the end of next year, you'll look at yourself and say, oh, thank God. You know, my temper is not crazy anymore. I don't watch too much TFC anymore. I resolve to cut off my... to cut off my subscription to TFC. It's a waste of time. Some of you are probably, but yeah, I encourage you to do that, but to do it within the prescription of 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.